A few days ago, I had the pleasure of facilitating a group of 8 LGBTQ plus teenagers who had been asked to share with a bunch of adults what it's like these days in this part of the world to be an LGBTQ plus teenager. The session was the big finish to a day-long symposium aimed at giving skills and information to adults so that they might better be able to support LGBTQ plus young people. Before they had to sit down in front of the audience, they all gathered downstairs in the Chapin Room, named after Augusta Jane Chapin, a Universalist minister and one of the earliest women to be ordained in ministry. This is our main religious exploration space downstairs for our children. There's a table in the middle of the room, surrounded with chairs, but as you'll know if you've been down there, the table and the chairs are a little bit shorter than usual. And the teens all sat in those little chairs around the little short table. And there was enough of them there that they took up all the chairs and there wasn't one left for me. And so in order to join them, I knelt on the floor at the table between two of them. And we talked about what they wanted to say. There were three main questions that we were focused on, and the group talked and decided who would speak on each and what each would say. It was such an excellent discussion, such smart young people, all willing to share from their experience. And it felt like a gift to be there. It felt kind of amazing to be there with them, able to listen to them, able to be part of helping this collaboration happen. It took us about a half an hour to do this, and then it was time to come upstairs and get that final session of the day started. The kids rose up from their little chairs, no problem at all for them, and I got up from my knees and almost fell right back to the ground again. My knees were somehow stiff and sore and numb at the same time. I felt much, much older than all of these other people in the room at the time, their hands outstretched on either side of me to catch or steady me just in case. It is no small thing to kneel. Maybe for some fit or young people, the physical act of kneeling is easy. But even for them, it's no insignificant thing to kneel. Some tasks, like gardening or cleaning the bathroom floor, may require kneeling, but most of us do not spend much time on our knees. I had a garden for a little while, but most of my experience with kneeling comes from going to Catholic masses when I was growing up. The church had pews, and there were kneelers that you could pull down. They were nicely padded, quite comfortable, at least for my then young knees. But regardless of how easy or comfortable it is, when I think of kneeling, I think of it as a spiritual act, a religious act. To kneel is to actively put yourself in a different sort of relationship to the world you're in, to the moment that you're in, to the beliefs that you hold. To kneel is to invite change. To kneel is to engage in transformation. What change would you get on your knees for? Today is Easter, the celebration of the resurrection of Jesus, the celebration of turning life into death, despair into hope. I hope you don't feel I'm somehow cheapening or disrespecting the holiday if I say that it is fundamentally a celebration of transformation. It is a celebration of the presence of the divine active in the world, offering our world and its people a different way of being in the world. In the midst of terrible violence, torture, and execution, love manifests. And if you can see that, if you can be present to that love and commit yourself to it, you will be transformed. What transformation would you get on your knees for? We're in the midst of Ramadan. It's a month of fasting and prayer and reflection and affirming one's sense of community even growing one's sense of community. It has always seemed a little overwhelming to me to fast from sunrise to sunset, in addition to 5 daily prayers and more, for a month. I'm frankly a little intimidated. I have friends who hold the Ramadan fast, and they amaze me. It is an intense practice. And the only reason for such an intense practice is to invite a transformation of one's life. Practice Ramadan faithfully, and I do not doubt that you will be transformed. Who you are and how you are in the world will be changed. When I was a teenager and young adult, it was pretty common for it to come up in casual conversation at this time of year, the question, what are you giving up for Lent? Everyone around me growing up seemed to be either Catholic or Lutheran. This time of year would roll around, friends would ask me, what are you giving up for Lent? And I would say, I'm giving up Lent for Lent. Not exactly proud of that. I don't think I should have been a better Catholic, but to commit to change, or not just to change, to commit to work towards a transformation of oneself, that is admirable work. The past few Sundays, I've been exploring the theme of transformation. I started with cultivating openness to change, and then last Sunday, I talked about our relationship to the unchosen change in our lives. For Easter, I'm wondering what it means to live transformation. There are two habits of thought I think we have in our society with respect to transformation. One is that achieving transformation takes work and work and work and more work. It takes pushing and pushing and striving and striving. And the other habit of thought that I think we have about transformation is that it is something that once it's happened, it's happened, it's done. As much as I love butterflies as a metaphor for transformation, butterflies do not help as much as I'd like with these habits of thought. That chrysalis, that caterpillar, having transformed into a butterfly, is not going to go back. A butterfly is profoundly different from a caterpillar. It seems like there's no effort in just maintaining that transformation. But human beings are not butterflies, and our transformations are different. In his book about awe, Dacre Keltner shares the story of Juji Morales. She was born in Jalapa, Mexico, and became a swimming coach there. She got married in Mexico to an American. Her husband, Tim, then learned that his grandfather was very ill. So the young family, now with a new baby, came to San Francisco. And when they went to return to Mexico, immigration law prevented Juji from returning to Mexico. So she's in San Francisco. They have moved to San Francisco, not exactly of choice. Lonely and isolated, speaking only a few words of English, she struggled. Caring for the new baby exhausted her. She knew no one. Every day she cried. So she took to walking. She wandered the streets of San Francisco with her son in a stroller. One day she discovered a public library and ventured in. There, in the quiet of a public space, a librarian transformed Juji's life. She introduced Juji to books. And Juji learned English by reading books to her son. And now, she is a much celebrated children's author and illustrator. Keltner only names one moment of transformation in this story about her life, but there are several moments of transformation in that story, I think. Juji's life would be different had she not experienced all of those moments. Who she is, how she lived, what she did, all of it was transformed. But I don't think that Keltner would have sought her out to interview her for his book and shared her stories if she hadn't, in addition to simply accomplishing a transformation, been living these transformations. What I guess I mean is simply this. Introduced to access to books via the library, she didn't have to start reading storybooks in English to her child. She didn't have to enroll in an extension class at UC Berkeley. She didn't have to buy a set of paints and brushes and set out to study art. I don't know how much kneeling she did, but she practiced and studied. She practiced writing and illustrating. She practiced living her transformation. Having transformed into a children's book author and illustrator, Juji Morales' transformation wasn't done. She kept at it. So I guess effort is part of transformation, and we do love a good work ethic story here in America. I am not going to argue that dedication and work won't result in transformation, but I also don't think that they necessarily result in transformation. I think that in order for transformation to happen, what's also required is a little bit of giving in, or if you'd rather, getting carried away. In a book of his prayers published last year in a 40th anniversary edition, the Methodist minister Ted Loader describes what his goals are when he sets out to write prayers. And one of them is to let the prayer carry me. Loader writes, "I saw an expression somewhere that asked, 'If you aren't carried away, why go?' There is at least some delightful truth in that, except that the rest also needs saying, namely that, for the most part, you don't get carried away if you don't hoist your sails to the wind by doing the work of preparation and persistence. But often, because of our anxieties about control and losing it, when the wind starts to blow, we tend to lower our sails," Ted Loader says. One of the things that feels profound to me about the practice of kneeling is that it does entail a willingness to be carried away, to let what you are kneeling to, be it a flower or a group of kids around a table, be the guide. There is a delightful truth to be experienced in getting carried away. At Easter time, one of the pieces I keep returning to every year is a reflection from a book called The Book of Delights by the poet Ross Gay. In it, he describes what he says is a daily practice that he holds to for at least a month. While it is blooming, he kneels to the first flower he planted in his garden and he leans into it. He lets himself be completely carried away by this lily. The lily was the first flower I planted in my garden, and I pray to it daily in the 4 to 6 weeks that it offers up its pinkish speckling by getting on my knees and pushing my face in. This is a very physical act as well as a spiritual act, and I think that that's something to pay attention to. I don't think we get really the one without the other. When you engage in this physical, spiritual act of reverence, you end up with your lips and nose lit with gold dust, your face and fingers smelling faintly all day of where they've been. Ross Gay gives all his attention to the lily, his practice a moving so close to another living and breathing thing's breath. And if you can bring yourself to this posture of reverence, kneeling before and leaning into the lily, you will experience a transformative delight. The moving so close to another living and breathing thing's breath will in fact kill you with delight, will annihilate you with delight, will end the life you had previously led before kneeling here and breathing the breathing thing's breath. And the lily will resurrect you too. Amen. What sort of kneeling and moving so close might you do? I don't recommend kneeling downstairs. But I do recommend something physical. It could be just breathing or walking and just paying attention to that in a different way. Inspired by Ramadan, maybe there is a fast that is for you. And maybe it's not a fasting from food. Maybe your practice could be one of simply giving your attention to someone else. Maybe a commitment to make eye contact with the people that you meet. Or maybe instead of breathing in another's breath, you could listen deeply to what another person says. Whether they're saying it to you using words right in front of you, or if they're saying it to you later because they wrote it down and you're reading it from the book in front of you. Practicing listening to those words. Your practice may need to be something that feels a bit unfamiliar, as unfamiliar perhaps as getting on your knees may feel. In his prayer book, the Reverend Loder says, it is hard to get carried away when we're hanging on tightly to the familiar. Perhaps your practice could be simply a bowing of your head. Living transformation means making ready and letting go, means practicing and letting yourself get carried away. May we be willing to kneel, even if it's a bit uncomfortable, and may our kneeling and reverence open us to experiences of awe and delight and transformation. May the living of transformation be our way. Amen.